Welcome to the Locked On Sooners Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Now, here's your host, John Hoover.
It is Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm John Hoover, and for the next 30 minutes, I am in your ear. It's Monday, December 2nd. Welcome to December, huh? We do this every single day. If you call yourself a Sooner fan, then you need to tell your friends, tell your family, heck, tell your boa constrictor that you are Locked On Sooners. Again, I'm John Hoover from 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City, 107.9 The Franchise Tulsa. Find my columns and blogs at thefranchiseok.com and my Big 12 coverage at sportingnews.com. They're both free. Over at my YouTube channel, you'll find OU videos, press conferences, interviews with Lincoln Riley, Jalen Hurts, Alex Grinch, and a lot more. Probably the best way to keep up with all the content I post is just follow me on Twitter at John E. Hoover or on Facebook at John E. Hoover Media. I always post links to all my stuff on social media, and you can also follow Locked On Sooners on Twitter at Locked On Sooners. It is Monday, and it's Championship Monday. So today, you're going to get my three big things from Saturday night's 34-16 victory over Oklahoma State. I have some news and notes, and we'll put a bow on the Big 12 this year. Next Monday, now we're going to have all the bowl destinations. Also going to give you my player of the game from Stillwater, and since it is Monday, I do have highlights from Lincoln Riley's press conference today. Hey, it's December, and I'm in the Christmas spirit, so let's get this thing started. First things first, Oklahoma took apart Oklahoma State 34-16 on Saturday night in Stillwater. If you weren't there, let me set the scene for you. It was cold as hell, and it was windy. And Oklahoma pretty much did what it wanted to on both sides, offense and defense. I thought Oklahoma State was going to cover the 14-point spread, and I was really looking pretty smart right up until about the fourth quarter. But bottom line, OU controlled almost every aspect of this football game from start to finish. On offense, you know, Gabe Berkich was good, the kicker. He knocked through a couple of field goals in those conditions. That was impressive. Jalen Hurts was better, 13 of 16 passing. But Kennedy Brooks was the best. And then on defense, Kenneth Murray was good. Buki Radley-Hiles was better. And Parnell Motley was the beast. Those guys were all fantastic. It was OU's fifth straight Bedlam victory. You know, Lincoln Riley has never tasted defeat against those guys. It was also OU's fourth win in a row at Boone Pickens Stadium. Now, let's be fair to Oklahoma State for a minute. If Tylan Wallace wasn't out with a knee injury and Spencer Sanders wasn't out with a thumb injury, the point spread and maybe even the final score might have been a little bit different. Probably not, but who knows? Having your All-American receiver and your starting quarterback healthy in a football game can make a pretty big difference in these college football games. But you play with who you got, and the players OU had Saturday were better than the players OSU had. And, of course, the really first things first, keeping the main thing, as Jalen Hurts might say, is that Oklahoma is now full steam ahead toward its fourth straight Big 12 championship game. That's right, I said fourth. There has been three of these since the Big 12 applied for a special waiver to stage a title game with just 10 teams. But who can forget the 2010 Big 12 title game, the Swan Song, back in 2010, when OU fell behind Nebraska by 17 points and then rallied to win the thing? Anyway, beating Baylor would be OU's 13th Big 12 championship, and that is just ridiculous. This league has been in existence for 24 years. Oklahoma currently owns half of the football championships.
Three big things.
My first big thing, OU ran for 283 yards on Saturday night, but that's only because the wind was blowing and Lincoln Riley didn't want to throw it around. Actually, OSU's pass defense is its strength. Those safeties and those corners, those guys are really good. They can really play. They're all experienced, and it was certainly in OU's best interest to own the line of scrimmage on this night. And they did that with Kennedy Brooks setting a season high for the second straight week, this time 160 yards on 22 carries. The guard-tackle counterplay worked so well that I don't know that Lincoln Riley called more than about four different running plays the entire evening. The run-pass ratio total was 44-16, which was really just about right on a night like this. Lincoln Riley joked that he was just following the media suggestions, you know, to run the ball more. And who knows, maybe he wasn't joking, but either way, the game plan was practical, it was smart, and it was certainly effective. Hurts threw it just 16 times. He completed 13, and he had 163 yards, and he did not turn the football over. To execute it that well in conditions like this was a good sign for the future. My second big thing, the Sooner defense took care of business against the nation's leading rusher. Chuba Hubbard came in with 1,860 yards rushing. He carried the football 24 times. He only netted 104 yards and a touchdown. And of that, 22 came on one play on the first drive when it looked like it was going to be, you know, one of those high-scoring bedlam shootouts. Instead, it might as well have been a bedlam shutout. OSU had just one offensive touchdown for just the third time in the last 5 years. Buki had a career night, 10 tackles. Kenneth Murray had 6 tackles and was pretty much everywhere. And then Parnell Motley played the game of his life. 6 tackles, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, an interception, and a play that probably should have been an interception. I mean, that sideline pick, I just don't know what Reggie Smith and the Big 12 replay crew thinks that they saw that was absolutely conclusive that he had his heel on the sideline. I mean, me personally, I saw Motley's heel on the sideline too. But the ball hadn't arrived yet. Then the heel comes up, and his toe was in bounds as the ball got there. Was that really enough video evidence? Was it totally conclusive to overturn the call on the field? I mean, I don't know. Now, my third big thing is kind of twofold. One, Alabama lost to Auburn earlier in the day. What a game that was in the Iron Bowl. Missed field goal, a doink, a substitution penalty by Bama that gives Auburn the game-clinching first down. Wild, wacky stuff. That was bedlam out there in Alabama. But the really big thing, obviously, is the number 5 team in the college football playoff rankings lost. OU was number 7 last week, so they're going to get a boost just from Alabama losing. They're also going to get a boost from beating a ranked Oklahoma State team, convincingly, on the road. My prediction for this week's playoff rankings, the selection committee tomorrow night, they're going to slide Oklahoma ahead of Utah in the rankings. Utah played at home against a bad Colorado team, and they won big. That's what they're supposed to do. But OU going on the road in Stillwater in those conditions and dominating a Big 12 conference opponent, I think that's really going to resonate with the committee. Plus, the committee really wants Oklahoma in the playoff. Trust me on this. They don't want Utah. Oklahoma's going to draw television viewers that Utah will not, plain and simple. And to help accomplish that goal, if they reward the Sooners this week for their accomplishments, then they won't have to explain themselves nearly as much next week when the championship games shake out, you know, and OU beats Baylor and Utah beats Oregon, because in that scenario, OU's work will have already been done by beating number 21 Oklahoma State by more than 2 touchdowns on the road. And if they get the jump on it this week, then next week, there's no controversy. That's how big a good performance was in Bedlam. Again, just a theory by me. Up next on the Locked On Sooners podcast, it's Monday, so that means plenty of news and notes. Plus, we got to take our final regular season trip around the Big 12. And don't forget my player of the game from Saturday night, plus highlights from the Lincoln Riley press conference. All that's next on the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
So what did Jalen Hurts and Tommy McDonald have in common? If you're a young whippersnapper like me, you might not know who Tommy McDonald is, but if that's true, and if you're a Sooner fan, then you probably ought to break out the Googles. Or, you know what, ask your grandparents if you can borrow their Encyclopedia Britannica, make sure it's the M volume for McDonald. Tommy McDonald was arguably Oklahoma's greatest player of the 1950s, which, as you'll recall, Bud Wilkinson, 47 straight, 3 national championships, all that stuff. You could certainly say Billy Vessels was the best player, or maybe Clendon Thomas or Jerry Tubbs, but Tommy McDonald is the only Sooner from that era who is enshrined in both the College Football Hall of Fame and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The guy was a special athlete, and I mean special. Played quarterback, halfback, defensive back, wide receiver, or end, as they used to call it back in the day. In addition to all that, Tommy was an electric personality. He just had a joy about him. He just exuded happiness. His personality was just infectious. Seriously, if you go to YouTube and search Tommy McDonald, I would guess that the first thing that comes up is his Pro Football Hall of Fame induction speech. The guy was literally chest bumping the other inductees on the stage. Seriously, I interviewed Tommy a handful of times and he was always smiling, always quick with a joke, just a super friendly, super outgoing, type A personality. So, aside from their personalities, what do Tommy McDonald and Jalen Hurts have in common? Well, Saturday night, Jalen joined Tommy as the only Sooners to score a touchdown rushing, a touchdown passing, and a touchdown receiving in the same game. Think about this now. Hasn't been done in the same game since 1956. Wow. Hurts ran for a 28-yard touchdown on the first drive. Then on the first play of the second quarter, he caught a 4-yard touchdown pass from Nick Basquin. Then in the fourth quarter, Hurts threw a 3-yard touchdown pass to Braden Willis to complete the trifecta. Pretty impressive night. That, by the way, was Braden Willis' third straight game with a touchdown pass. You want some more?
News and notes.
I told you Parnell Motley played the game of his life against Oklahoma State. On Monday, he was named Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week. He had a really rough game in Stillwater 2 years ago, remember? That's when he got benched at halftime and Trey Brown and Trey Norwood stepped in and took over after he and Jordan Thomas were just so inconsistent. I'd say Parnell Motley redeemed himself pretty nicely. Chuba Hubbard's rushing total of 104 yards was his second lowest total of the season and was his lowest output since week two, when Oklahoma State played FCS McNeese State and he only got 8 carries. He fumbled in that game and Mike Gundy essentially benched him. So, really good work by the OU defense on Saturday night. I don't want to get ahead of myself here because we're going to go over Lincoln Riley's presser in the next segment, but he did say that Jalen Redmond did not travel to the Oklahoma State game on Saturday night because of a, quote, medical issue, and he did clarify that it had nothing to do with the blood clots that hindered Redmond last year and earlier this year. Alex Grinch is not among the 5 finalists for the 2019 Frank Broyles Award. The guys who made the cut are Baylor defensive coordinator Phil Snow, Georgia defensive coordinator Dan Lanning, Ohio State defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley, Utah defensive coordinator Morgan Scally, and the guy who's going to win it is LSU's passing game coordinator Joe Brady. Listen, those guys all did a great job this year. Phenomenal work by every one of them. But Grinch deserved to be a finalist. I don't care how many finalists they bring. There is zero doubt of this. If you go to thefranchiseok.com and read my column from the press conference on Monday, you're going to find out exactly why. So guess who ends the 2019 regular season with the Big 12's best overall defense? That's right. It's Alex Grinch's Oklahoma Sooners. TCU gave up 336.9 yards per game in its 12 games this season. OU gave up 336.1. So statistically, at least, using raw numbers, OU finishes the regular season with the Big 12's best defense. In reality, that's not going to hold up. Now, I'm pretty sure Baylor's going to get, you know, more than 340, 350 yards on Saturday morning at Jerry World. But even if OU finishes second, think about that. What a remarkable turnaround from last season. That's the difference having the right defensive coordinator can make. And if you want to use just Big 12 conference games as your measuring stick, you know, everybody plays the same 9 opponents, then Oklahoma definitely is the number one overall defense in the Big 12. In 9 Big 12 games, OU gave up just 330.6 yards per game. TCU was number 2 at 357.6. So, wow. Now, consider this. OU's pass defense last year, remember, finished 129th in the country. That is dead last, 129 of 129 in passing yards allowed. This year, OU's pass defense ranks number 1 in the Big 12 by a lot, just 190.4 yards per game. That, to me, is almost inconceivable. Speaking on the Big 12, let's check in on the rest of the conference.
Around the Big 12.
2 games last Friday in the great state of Texas. Texas beat Texas Tech 49-24 in Austin, and West Virginia finished the season strong by beating TCU 20-17 in Fort Worth. Then on Saturday, Baylor just throttled Kansas 61-6, and Kansas State upset Iowa State 27-17. So here's your official Big 12 standings for 2019, and yeah, there's a lot of ties. Oklahoma and Baylor finished tied at the top, 8-1. OU gets the tiebreaker, obviously, head-to-head. And OU is the top seed for the championship game, meaning OU is the home team. They get to wear whatever uniform they want. They're going to wear crimson. That's Saturday in Arlington. There is a 4-way tie for third place. 4 teams locked in at 5-4 in Big 12 play. Texas wins the tiebreaker for third place. Oklahoma State is 4th. Kansas State is 5th, and Iowa State is 6th. Texas and Iowa State, remember, everybody's choice to finish 2nd and 3rd in the Big 12 this year. So a 4-way tie for 3rd and losing those tiebreakers, probably a pretty massive disappointment for both. West Virginia and TCU are tied for 7th at 3-6. West Virginia wins that tiebreaker. Texas Tech is 9th at 2-7, and Kansas all alone at 10th at 1-8.
Around campus.
OU volleyball is going back to the NCAA tournament. The Sooners went 18-9 this year and finished 3rd in the Big 12 at 10-5. That means the Sooners are headed back to the NCAAs for the first time since 2014. OU will play at the Texas A&M Regional against Rice at 4:30 p.m. on Thursday afternoon. Texas A&M is one of the regional seeds, and they host St. John's on Thursday night. The winners advance to the second round match on Friday night, 6:30 p.m. This is OU's 12th overall appearance in the NCAA volleyball tournament. Up next on the Locked On Sooners podcast, my Bedlam player of the game, and more highlights from Lincoln Riley's press conference. That's next on the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Player of the game.
Okay, so player of the game Saturday night at Oklahoma State. Who you got? You got Jalen Hurts, had a hand in three of the Sooners' four touchdowns. First guy in 63 years to have a rushing, receiving, and passing touchdown in the same game. Really played within himself, 13 of 16 on a windy night. What about Kennedy Brooks? 22 carries, season-high 160 yards, scored a touchdown, averaged 7 yards a carry. On that guard tackle counter, he completely controlled the tempo of the game, and he broke a lot of tackles. What about Bookie Radley-Hiles? Career-high 10 tackles, led the Sooners with 8 solos, had a tackle for loss, was basically everywhere causing havoc. You like any of those guys? Nah, me neither. Those guys were terrific, but for me, the player of the game in Stillwater was only one guy. It was Parnell Motley. I'm serious when I say this. Motley looked like the second coming of Derek Strait. He looked like one of those old-school Jim Thorpe Award-type guys, an OU defensive back with confidence and aggressiveness and attitude and skill and everything you basically need to be one of the top corners in the country. Now, here's the deal. I mentioned this before. 2 years ago in this game, he got benched, and he was awful. It wasn't just that game, either. Fact is, he just wasn't ready for the kind of responsibility that Mike Stoops and Kerry Cooks and those guys wanted him to have. That's the problem with playing young players. They're young. They're inexperienced. Sometimes they're good enough. Strait was, obviously. Aaron Colvin was. Zach Sanchez, for the most part, probably was. But most of the time, when you throw a freshman or a sophomore out there that's not ready, especially a defensive back, it just becomes too much too soon. And in Motley's case, he was the best they had at the time, meaning the coaches flat-out missed on a bunch of guys in recruiting. Yeah, for several classes in a row, I think, they brought in guys who just weren't very good players. Then all of a sudden, you have to turn to a young guy, and he gets exposed for being young. Then you have to start relying on other young guys like Trey Brown or Trey Norwood, and they're not ready either, and the thing just snowballs. But they're the best you've got at the time. You can see now how Motley has just absolutely grown as a player. It's been crazy to watch. Seems like every week he's one of the top-rated corners in the country by Pro Football Focus. They assign player ratings to players at all positions on all teams from all across the country, and Motley always seems to be in their top five from 1 week to the next. It's been impressive to watch. Okay, let's close out with some highlights from Lincoln Riley's press conference. First off, Kenneth Murray and Lincoln Riley and Jalen Hurts, of course, say they're not going to lean too much on the first game with Baylor from 3 weeks ago. OU won the game 34-31, and they all pretty much said the same thing. Doesn't matter, first half or second half, they're not going to go too deep into the film study and, you know, self-scouting, and they're not going to make a bunch of adjustments. Remember, it was the biggest comeback in OU history. They fell behind 28-3, then they came all the way back and won on a field goal at the end before Nick Bonito sealed it with an interception. But this is a brand new game, they say, like none of it ever happened. I mean, I guess I get that. You don't want to overanalyze because you never know how the opponent is going to react to what you're analyzing. But, you know, the whole I know you know that I know that you know, but I also know that you know that I know that you know that I know. You know, that whole thing. So we'll see how it goes. Interesting take from Lincoln Riley on the week that Oklahoma's going to lose again in recruiting. It's a big recruiting week, especially with the new early signing day, but Sooners coaches are going to be game planning for Baylor while basically everyone else, except for Baylor in the Big 12, and, you know, LSU and Georgia and Clemson, schools that OU recruits against nationwide, there's just a handful. Riley said there was a petition of the NCAA and actually a vote about legislation that would have allowed teams participating in a conference championship game to get an extra few days to make up ground in recruiting. This would have been, you know, on the Power 5 level administratively, what they call the autonomy conferences. There's 65 schools in the autonomy conferences. Riley said the vote was about 10-4, and he said you could probably guess which ones, and about 50 against. Big surprise, he said. Riley said it makes zero sense that you qualify for your championship game and then you're penalized at the most important recruiting point of the year. Then he also said, quote, hopefully those guys know why we're not out there recruiting. Riley said he's had the usual dealings with Baylor coach Matt Rhule, who's up for several National Coach of the Year awards. And after taking Baylor out of the dumpster going from 1-11 to 11-1, Riley said, quote, "Seems like a good guy, a good family guy. He's obviously been a real positive for Baylor and has done a good job not being from this area. He's got a good way about him," unquote. Riley said CeeDee Lamb's health is fine and that CeeDee's not getting the football on Saturday night was not a big deal. That's it for today's show. Locked On Sooners, we'll be back tomorrow and we'll get the full audio from Lincoln Riley's press conference. We have more news and notes and we're going to check in on this week's Heisman Watch. The Locked On Sooners podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm John Hoover and you can follow me on Twitter at John E. Hoover, on Facebook at John E. Hoover Media, on YouTube at John Hoover. Find all my columns, stories, blogs, and more at TheFranchiseOK.com. And don't forget to follow the Locked On Sooners podcast on Twitter at Locked On Sooners. Hit that subscribe button, share your Locked On Sooners podcast with your friends, and I would really love it if you left me a comment or a rating. Thanks for listening. See you guys.